And the demons in that example you gave, Emil, the demons knew, are you come, is this the time
before
now?
The time.
They're knowing
right.
that yeah, this right. moment will come when they will right. truly bow yeah. and they'll be thrown into judgment. So,
though you're right, God is not forcing anybody, but reality is they will have no choice but to bow the knee and mm-hmm. confess Him mm-hmm. as Lord.
Okay. It's interesting in that connection that may help also. Judas, he never called the Lord Jesus Lord. He only called Him a rabbi. Rabbi am I, when the Lord was talking about it. The disciples said, Lord. But Judas said, Rabbi. So he did not recognize Him as Lord, because he had a different Lord. But the point is that the time will come that even Judas will bow the knee. All in there's three different spheres, heavenly, earthly, and infernal, or under the earth. And so that is they are not redeemed, but they will be forced to recognize the Lord's rights, because what He did, the work of redemption, implies that He has rights on everything, nothing excluded, and that will be acknowledged then.
The creator power also, because He yeah. created them.
Yeah.
Could we maybe relate this to that illustration of Joseph? Remember, Joseph yeah. was Potiphar's slave, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he was cast into prison. But when Pharaoh puts Joseph at the right hand of Pharaoh in all power, now, what would Potiphar have to do to the one he once put down into prison? He would have to recognize and acknowledge his authority, this one who he falsely accused.
Yeah.
And when you read the story, you get some who go to Pharaoh. They try to bypass Joseph. And they go to Pharaoh to ask for food. And he said, you go to Joseph.
Yeah.
I have a feeling Potiphar was one of them.
We have this same thought in Psalm 2 about the Lord's acknowledgement from all levels. And there it's in an analogy of the heavens, the earth, and under the earth. And I think it would be an interesting study we could do on our own. In the Psalms in particular, you hear that expression, heavens on the earth and in the sea, or that thought of below the earth. And it's all-encompassing, that there is no creature that ever was created that will not acknowledge the lordship of the Lord Jesus.
Mm. Yeah, but when it comes to blessing in Ephesians chapter 1, in Philippians, you know, it says heavenly beings, earthly beings, and infernal beings, but in Ephesians 1, 11, 10, verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together all in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that are on the earth. So He doesn't include the infernal beings there.
Right. Because in Ephesians, He's head.
Right.
Yeah, headship and lordship kind of different a little bit. In headship, it's only believers, redeemed company, but lordship, right. it's overall.
Question is in Philippians, verse 9, therefore God also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. When it refers to verse 9, the name, is that the name of Jesus? Is that Jesus? Or is there another name that I've heard Bergman speak of before?
Mm-hmm. It is a unique name, so it is the name. What it really is, we don't know. Whether it is referring to Jesus or other names, but it is the name. There's only one the name. And that's why I emphasized this morning also, it is the Alpha and the Omega. So this is to emphasize really, again, the greatness of His person. There's only one person who has the name, and it's Him.
Which is not known to us.
We don't know.
Well,
if you link in with the book of Revelation, where He has a name and no one know it but Himself,
yeah, could be.
You might link it with that name. But the great thing to me is that it's at the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It is the name that was despised and rejected.
That's it.
In the time of His flesh, on the cross, and even today, how many times, and many of us have experienced that, where you shudder when you hear people around you using the blessed name of the Lord Jesus in vain. It just makes your blood boil, really.
Yeah.
But this is the name that God will make sure that every knee will bow, and every tongue will use that name, will confess that name. And I think it's a wonderful thing in that you were quoting the Greek a little bit here, my dear brother. I think the word in verse 9, highly exalted, is the only time it is used in the Greek New Testament. Yeah. It's a word that the Spirit of God, I think, put together to say, because there is no greater word. He couldn't find anything, so he put that word together. Highly exalted. Yeah.
But the Greek word for that is hupo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we use in English as super.
Super exalted.
Yeah. Super exalted.
To exalt supremely is more literal. Yeah.
I was also thinking that connects to Joseph. Does Joseph mean king?
Yeah.
And his name was changed, but his name was given in character to now that position he holds. So the same thing, that new name of the Lord Jesus, which only he knows, is going to be a supreme name, but a character with all that he has accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give the reference, Revelation 19, verse 12 that you're referring to, that no man knew but himself, that name written, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think the lovely thought that it is the name of Jesus that we announce.
Well, it does say of Jesus in Philippians 2:10.
Right.
It's in the genitive case too, of Jesus. Isu.
Doesn't Jesus mean Jehovah the Savior?
Amen.
Yeah. Jehoshua, I believe it is in the Hebrew.
Jehovah is salvation. So there again you have this mystery of his name. It is given at his birth in Matthew 1. So do you see this baby called Jesus, but he is also Jehovah. Who can explain that?
Can we have an understanding of the word things, which is brought out three times? Things. I don't like to refer to humans as things. Although it always puzzled me when the angel said, this holy thing that is in thy womb.
Okay.
Perhaps that's a wrong rendition. However, and also, could this be in connection? Well, I think Darby's translation in Hebrews, where we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everything. It says one in King James, but in Darby it's everything. And I'm wondering if there's a reason, if that correlates with this.
This word things in verse 10 is of things in heaven. It's genitive plural, and the dictionary says it's meant like of heavenly beings.
Mm-hmm. Angels, seraphims,
yeah.
Anything God created that has a life form?
Beings in heaven. The New King James translates it of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those on earth.
A lot of things we may not even know.
That's very true. You're absolutely right. I mean, everything was created for his glory, so it would have to be all life forms.
Dominions, powers,
yeah.
Words to describe things that we have not seen.
Mm-hmm. And also the verse you quote from Hebrews 2, that he should taste the death for everything or everyone.
Yes.
So that is to show the greatness of his work that has an impact towards everything and towards everyone. It doesn't mean that everyone will be reconciled to God, will be saved, but this shows the greatness of his work. Such an impact.
Because the creation itself groaned. The unintelligible things suffered the effect of sin on earth. I think the earth shook because of the iniquity of man.
Yep.
And every other week now you hear the earth shaking somewhere. It's really, I think the earth could not take it anymore of how the wickedness of man have increased, and it's just going to get worse and worse.
It says in Romans, the whole creation groaned and travailed, waiting for the adoption of sons. So the whole creation felt it in the fall, and the whole creation as it were benefit in his redemption.
That's why the 3 hours of darkness on the cross, the sun was hiding itself. So that shows how the whole creation suffered in connection with the fact that the great creator was suffering.